Brother Chris Wallace says he's been preaching some 3 years or better, and he's now pastor at Westport Baptist Church. He's been saved a long time. He was just about 12 years old when he got saved. So I don't know how long he fought to call to the ministry, as most people, most preachers say they do. I don't know of many that just the Lord called them and they started that day. There may be some, but I've failed to hear many of them say that. So I'm sure that he'll want your prayers, and let's pray for him as Brother Wallace comes to deliver our message this morning. Brother Wallace.
Bless you, brother. Bless
you. Good morning. It truly is good to see everyone out this morning. I'll be honest with you this morning. Brother Ray, when he met me at the front door this morning, he asked me if I slept well, and I'll just be honest with you, no, I didn't. I went to bed about midnight. I got up at 2, 3, 4, and 5. Because you see, there's something that I don't know that I'm unique. You know, Brother Ray just mentioned, you know, he didn't know how long I had fought the call. You know, many people have regrets in life, and there's one of my biggest. I fought the call for 24 years. So every time, whether it's at church on Sunday in Westport, or whether it's before this congregation I'm before now, every time when I stand up here for my God, I take it extremely serious.
Yes.
Because you see, I'm not worried about failing anyone in this building.
That's right.
I'm worried about failing my God. You see, I know that there have been men in this congregation that have been praying for me. Brother Lynn met me. He told me he'd been praying for me. I heard my former pastor a little earlier today beseeching God on my behalf. I know Brother Rufus, as we were coming over here this morning, told me he'd been praying for me. And Brother Andrew probably had selfish reasons, but he said he'd been praying for me too. Because had I not made it here today, he'd be up here. But I do want to say this morning, I consider it a great honor to stand before you. There are many men that I can look at across this crowd who I believe are much more able to stand here than I. You see, there's something that I'm thankful that most men, when God calls upon their heart, don't do. They don't put it off for half their life. But I did. And you see, as I stand here before you today, I know what it's like to be in some dark places. I know what it's like to pour all the love that God tries to put in my heart, to let it pour out on the ground and be wasted. You see, there was a thought that came to my mind last year when Brother Larry Pritchard, I believe it was, mentioned my name. I have him to blame for this, so if I don't do a good job, you can talk to him. But there was a thought that came to my mind immediately that day. Back to the basics. And you know, like I was talking to Brother Jeff earlier this morning, you know, we often try to plan ahead in our natural lives, right? We all do. Brother Jeff made a profound statement to me this morning that is so true in so many ways. He said, you know, I thought about the service yesterday and tried to prepare it, and he said, I got chastised all year for trying to prepare for something that was such a great ways off. You see, as I stand before you today, most of the thoughts I have had during this year have already been talked about. Brother Jeff, thanks to the Lord above and his use of him yesterday, brought forward some things that we need to understand and we need to know and we need to hear. You see, folks, there's a world outside the doors of this congregation. There are people in your communities. There are people in your places of work. There are people in the schools your children attend that have no idea who the God I serve is. And you know, as I look across this nation and I look across all the things that are going on, you know, sometimes I wonder, how did we get to this point? Well, you know, the smart, slow answer, short answer, I guess I should say, was our Lord said it would be this way in the end days. That's true. But I've got a question this morning. When we start talking about the basics, you know, this sermon is supposed to be based upon doctrine, the doctrinal sermon. What drives our adherence to doctrine? It's one little four-letter word. Every one of us in here know it. Every one of us in here have felt it. Every one of us in here, I hope, at some point in time, have shared it. And that's L-O-V-E. Love. You see, I don't know how many of y'all know this, but there's been a song that's been just going over and over and over and over in my head for the last couple of days. When God finally hit me over the head and told me exactly what I needed to do today rather than what I wanted to do. I don't know how many of y'all used to listen to country music. I don't listen to it anymore. But there was a song by Waylon Jennings years ago called Luckenbach, Texas. And I hope that song doesn't stick in your mind the rest of the day since I mentioned it. But one of the main lines to that song is simply, back to the basics of love. You see, folks, if we do not love, we cannot serve. If we cannot love, I'll even go so far as this, all your doctrine is useless. There's a lot of people in this world who are going by a chain of events, a schedule, if you want to be, a schedule of affairs. This is how you do this. This is how you do that. How many of us, when we get ready to take communion, however many times a year you do it, have a crushed spirit within you as you remember the love that your Lord had for you. Yeah. And more especially, the love you have for Him. But you see, we live in a time that our Lord told us was going to come. He told us in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. You know, I'm amazed this morning as I stand before you how God works. You know, there's been lots of words that have already been said here this week, things that we need to do. Whether it be something as wonderful as spreading the good news of the gospel of our Savior to some lost and dying person.
Yeah.
To be able to point them out to the sin that is within their life. To share with them the need for repentance. What's the motivation for that? It's not love. And we need to check ourselves. In Matthew's Gospel, in the 24th chapter, I'm going to read a few verses here to try to get started. I'm going to begin here in about the third verse of this 24th chapter. I do desire an interest in your prayers this morning. Because I want you to know that I love everyone in this room, even though I may not know your name. And everything I speak today, I speak out of love. Beginning with the third verse of the 24th chapter, if you have your Bibles and want to follow along. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." And I just want to stop right there. You know, Brother Ray mentioned in his comments from the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah this morning, not to become discouraged. You see, the thing that I see within not only our society, but I'm afraid I'm starting to see it creep into our churches, is the love of many waxing cold. Do we not see it? It doesn't happen overnight. You know, when I first heard the Lord's call upon my life, I knew exactly who it was and what He wanted me to do. And there came a point in time when I decided, well, you know, God, I'm not going to do that. I started running. I'm sure there are many of my brethren here that can tell you about the time that they started running. See, the problem I had is the devil started finding me convenient things to do while I was running. You see, I know what it's like to go from a young man to 17 years old whose pastor had enough confidence in him at the time to allow him to teach a few Wednesday night services. I went from a man who was trying his best to learn and grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to one who was doing everything he could to get away. And that didn't happen overnight. You see, what we talk about, or what he's talking about here, when the love of many shall wax cold, it grows cold. Everyone here knows what it's like, or most of you here, I hope you do, I can remember when we used to use wood heat. What'd you have to do? Well, if you didn't put a good fresh load of wood in that stove at night before you went to bed and get it turned just right, when you got up in the next morning, you was going to have to start from scratch and somebody was going to be cold. You see, unfortunately, that's what I see happening all across this nation. Yes, you do see an outpouring of caring and love from some people in special situations. But what happens to the everyday? When we're all put in adverse situations, I'm encouraged that the natural space of man is inherently good. He wants to be able to help his brother most of the time. But you see, the thing is, we're not called to love our brother most of the time. We're called to love our brother all of the time. You see, there's something I want you to understand. John made it abundantly clear in 1 John 4th chapter. He talks about love and how we should love one another. Why? Because God is love. Paul to the Romans in the 5th chapter, about the 5th verse, says the love of God is shed abroad upon our hearts because it is what? Given unto us. Jesus himself said, if a man keep my words, if a man love me and keep my words, then I, my Father, will come unto him and make our abode with him. How many times have we just stopped and went back, as the saying goes, to Bethel? How many times during your week do you stop everything you're doing and go back to the spot where God graciously and mercifully saved your soul? I regret Brother Massey's not here because there was something I wanted to tell him today. You see, Brother Massey was preaching the revival in which I got saved. He didn't know that for several years because I didn't tell it till the year after. But you see, there's something that happened during that sermon that Tuesday morning. You see, he was standing up here and he was pouring out his heart for what God had laid upon him. And for some reason, his finger pointed right at me and said, if you don't get things right, you're going to hell. Oh, I know that wasn't him saying those things. That was the Spirit of God that made me lift my head up and pay attention. But I'm going to be honest with you, folks. That was my least favorite person in that crowd till I got saved Wednesday night. I didn't want to see that fella no more. You know why? He pointed out my wrong and I didn't like it. How dare him do this to me? What you won't hear from the world is there's many times as we stand up here and we try to proclaim what God wants us to proclaim, that there's many times it's not pleasant. There's many times that I've had to preach things that I knew were going to be strong medicine. There are even things as I come here today that I'm afraid may be strong medicine. Which is why, once again, I tell you, there's nothing I tell you today that is not of love. You see, I grained a love for Brother Massey that Wednesday night. Of course, I did. Again, shame on me. I didn't tell him. But I didn't look at that brother the same the rest of that week. Something changed. You know what changed? God shed his love in my heart. And I had a love for folks that you cannot understand if you don't know him.
That's right.
What our Lord say? John the 14th chapter, 15th verse. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, sometimes I think we forget that. You know, I don't know how many of us remember this, but I remember this well. I guess I remember it well because I have been slapped over the head with it a few times over the years. But as our Lord was getting ready to make his final hours upon this earth, he turned and he said something to his apostles. Judas had already left them. He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. You see, I don't know how many of y'all have seen this happen, but in my short 44 and two-thirds years of life, I have seen God's people dislike each other. Now, if you want to use the qualifier that he uses in the 14th chapter of John, if you love me, keep my commandments. The new commandment is what? To love your brother. How are you supposed to love your brother? God is love. Right? And it's an agape love. It's not a phileo. It's not an eros. It's not a storge. It's an agape, an unrelenting, unconditional love. Did you hear that? Unconditional. Unconditional. You see, we find it easy. We find it easy to love our mother. Love our father. We find it easy to hopefully love your preacher. I hope there ain't nobody here that don't like your preacher. I really do. Because let me tell you something from experience. He has nothing but your best interest at heart. I guarantee you there's not a man in this house who hasn't stood in the pastorate that hasn't wept at night over his flock that God has allowed him to shepherd. But you see, God's people, even at times, can get caught up in a spirit of unforgiveness. We can get caught up in bickerings, fightings and wars over nothing. What am I talking about? Well, David probably said it best in the 35th Psalm. You know, if you read the 24th chapter of 1 Samuel, you'll sort of get an idea of what David may have been talking about here. You see, Saul was doing everything he could to chase down David, who had done him no harm, and try to wipe him off the face of the earth. On one of these expeditions there in that 24th chapter, as he's off running, trying to catch David, he takes refuge in a cave to rest a while. Well, guess what? David and his party are in that cave. David comes up after being encouraged by his men. Get him. He's been after you. Get him. That's the natural thing for us to do, right? You know how many times that man has talked bad about you? Remember Sister So-and-so, how she run you up the river? Oh, that's right. Let's make it personal here for just a second. Folks, just because another Christian allows Satan to come into their heart and do evil things to you, is no right for you to turn and do it to them. Amen. David here in this 35th Psalm, down about verse 19, says, Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, Aha! Aha! Our eye has seen it. How many of us have ever looked at someone and said, they finally got theirs? Stop and think about that for a minute, folks. Have you ever been guilty of that? Oh, I remember what they did to brother so-and-so, and they finally got theirs. Let me tell everyone here something, if you don't already know it, you need to have pity over them, folks. My brother mentioned it the other day. Yesterday was mentioned. It's an awful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I know exactly what it's like to get chastised by the Lord. I have been to the woodshed. I don't need man to carry me there, because I know the one who swings it the hardest. You see, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters,
when your brother or your sister hates you without a cause, you know what you're supposed to do? Pray for them, number one. Thank you, brother. Amen. Number two, you're supposed to do like David talks about here. You'll go back in a little bit further in the preceding parts of this chapter, about verse 11. It says, false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned in mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though I had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. You don't need to have malicious joy for anyone that is your brother or sister especially. That's exactly what the word aha from the Hebrew means. The actual Greek word is he. And it's an exclamation. Aha! He got what he had coming to him. You ever been guilty of that? Oh, you better stop and be thinking about that real hard. Because there's lots of times that I have seen it with my own eyes. I witnessed it in my own heart. Shame on me. If you can't love your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, who can you love? You know, I don't know why when we don't come together like this, the houses ain't full and you got the windows open so people can hear. I can remember stories when that used to be the way. Amen. When the revivals were going on and there were people as far as you could see out the back door just listening. Where's the love, folks? Where's the love? You ever stop and thought about that? Where's the love? John talks about this over, and I mentioned this over there a minute ago, in 1 John the 4th chapter. I want to turn over here briefly. Down about verses 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. That's a commandment. Do you remember that qualifying particle preposition I talked about over there? If ye love me, keep my commandments. Well, let me tell you something, folks. If you can't love your brother, you don't love God. What? I ain't got a microphone to tap on. Did y'all hear me? If you cannot love your brother or sister in Christ, how can you love God? Right.
And you know, here's the problem with all this. You know, after he gives them that new commandment, he puts another little qualifier in right there behind it. What's he say? John 13 and 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples.
Right. You want to know how the church of Jesus Christ set up is recognized? It's recognized by the fact that everyone within the confines of that body loves one another. And it is spilling out the windows and the doors.
But you know what we like to do sometimes? We like to argue over when we're going to have services, what color the carpet is, who's going to preach our revival. Let me tell you something, folks. If we're not beseeching an almighty and a living God for every decision we make as a church, we are failing.
Amen.
I remember distinctly reading a lesson by my former pastor, Brother Calvin Perrigo, Holy Spirit Placed Pastors. I don't know about y'all. I'm going to speak for me. But I have no doubt that Westport Missionary Baptist Church is exactly where God wants me to be.
You know why? I couldn't leave it right now if I wanted to. You remember me talking about that woodshed? Oh, don't even try, brother, because he's going to take me to the woodshed. I can't leave it.
God has instilled in me a love for that place that I can't explain. But you see, the problem is, when we have troubles and trials within us, when our churches allow their love to wax cold, I've heard people say this. I'm sure you have too. Well, why do I want to go over yonder to that church? I'm just as good as they are, and all they do is bicker and fuss all the time. You ever heard that? I have. I ain't going to tell you where I heard it, but I've heard it. God have mercy on our churches. What is the church? It ain't this building. It's you folks. Wherever God has planted you, you are the church. And if you can't love each other, then you might as well tear the building down.
Because ain't nothing that ever comes good from bickering, hatred, and malicious joy.
But you see, then there's something else that I'm so glad my brother was obedient to the Lord yesterday when he got to talking about the Great Commission. You see, not only do we need to love each other, but you need to love the lost and dying world out there around you too. And I'm not talking about, well, you know, I might need to go talk to this one, or I might need to go talk to that one. Paul to the Ephesians in the 5th chapter, 1st verse says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. You know what followers means in the original Greek? I'm not going to say the word for you. Y'all won't remember it. Followers means imitators. Imitators. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever... He didn't say just the folks around your church. He didn't just say the folks in Kenya. He didn't just say the folks in Jamaica. He's also talking about those Muslim people that would love to kill you, every one of us in here.
It's true.
Is there anybody in here who has got a love for a Muslim that's willing to share the gospel of the kingdom with them? If God was to tell you, pick your stuff up and go to the middle of Iraq, would you go?
better stop and think about that for a minute. Would you go?
Do you love this lost and dying world? I'm so glad that we got some of the topics coming up next year. How do we reach out to this lost and dying world? I tell you where it starts. It starts with love, folks. L-O-V-E, love. Because you see, there's something else that I want to bring you back to the attention of. Remember when you were first saved? Let's go back to Bethel again. Let's go back to the beginning. Remember me telling you that, oh, I found a renewed difference of opinion for Brother Massey the rest of that week. I shook that man's hand and went all right on. I wish, shame on me for not telling him what the Lord had done. I guarantee he'd love to have heard it, because I love to hear it. But see, I have witnessed this myself. I have seen a newborn child of God go from this side of the church house beseeching with a crushed spirit. That's what contrition is. You know, we need to be careful what words we use in the world, because they may not understand what contrite is. It ain't a word we use every day. What does it mean? It means crushed, ground into powder. I've seen them go from that to a great old big smile on their face to going to the far side of the house and bowing down by another one that is sitting there beseeching an almighty God for salvation. You see, folks, we need to tap into that source. It's there. You know what happens as we get older? We get callous.
There's a word for you, callous. Most of y'all know what that means. If you don't know, if you've ever done any hard labor and you end up with these pads on your hand, they thicken up over time. You know what they're there for? They're there to protect your hand from getting hurt. But they also desensitize the area where you no longer feel pain. You no longer feel the need to share God's love. You see, if you're not careful, folks, every one of us will get in trouble. I want to make a point over here in the Gospel of Luke. If you would turn over here with me, if you got your Bibles in the 9th verse, we're going to find here where Jesus is getting ready to send out his apostles. Here in these first few verses, I'll just begin reading with verse 1. It says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, Take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them." Now, I got a question for you. He said to enter the city first, right? How many of us have walked up to the gates, looked in, and shook the dust off our feet and turned around and went the other way? What are you talking about, brother? I'm talking about that person that lives on the edge of Satan's hell all day long, every day, that is not a pleasant person to be around. You would rather not go. Oh, God, don't make me go talk to them. I don't want to do nothing for them. Remember Jonah? You need to read about Mr. Jonah if you don't remember him. See, that was his problem. God sent him to warn those people. But he didn't love them. He didn't want to go. God made him. But it didn't change his heart. You see, there, I'm afraid, is a problem that is starting to slip into our churches. There are some places we just will not go.
What do you mean, brother? I mean just exactly what I said. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever seen a house or passed a house on your way to church in the mornings? And you see a yard littered with beer cans. Have you ever thought that, you know, maybe they need to know who my God is? Have you? You know, we're so worried about protecting ourselves that we're not willing to rely on God. Now, don't get me wrong. There's going to be some neighborhoods, if I walk into them, God, you better send me or I ain't going. But if He sends you, are you going to go or are you going to be a Jonah? You see, folks, it was aptly said yesterday when they were talking about protecting yourself from litigation. This world is your enemy. If you find over here a little further in this chapter, verses 51 in the same chapter, the ninth chapter of Luke, says, "And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went, and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did?" How many of us have had that attitude? Oh, I'm getting personal now, ain't I? They don't want to hear me, so devil can have them. You know what we need to do, folks? When you knock on the door and you don't get a response immediately, you just need to keep knocking. You need to keep knocking until God allows you to know that He's satisfied with your effort. You have planted the warning. But see, the problem is, too many times we won't have malicious joy. God, they ain't going to listen to me. You take them care of them. There ain't nothing more I can do for them. How many of us remember when there was a time nobody could do nothing for us except Him? Folks, I don't know if y'all are really listening to what I'm saying up here or not. But the love that God shed abroad in our hearts when He first saved our soul, that love still exists. Yeah. There's just a little bit of it still in there. It doesn't matter how cold you get. He never completely leaves. Ain't that what we believe? That's doctrine, right? Yeah. But you know what? That ember can get so low that you can barely feel it. That's right, brother. Lord help. Because I know what it's like to get down to just embers. I know what it's like to wax so cold I had no desire for anything or anyone but me. Let me warn you something, folks. There's not a single person in this house that couldn't go down the same road. You know, the thing that we need to do more than anything else, Brother Lunsford mentioned this just a minute ago, what we need to do, we need to pray.
When I got so far out and so cold, and the embers within my heart were barely there, what did I have to do?
You go read about the church starts. They'd left their first love. That's been mentioned this weekend already. What did he tell them to do? Repent and do the first works. What are the first works? You've got to love God.
You have got to love Him with all your mind, soul, and being.
And then, you need to really get on praying terms with God. How do you get back to the source? Prayer. Very simply, how do I fill my cup back up? Prayer. Brother Scott mentioned last year, I believe it was, he talked about fellowship. Fellowship with God. Now, me and Brother Jeff don't see one another too often. But you know what? If when I do see him, I didn't say a word to him, what kind of fellowship would we have? None. That's right. If you want to be on key terms with God, you need to talk to him every once in a while. It ain't for his benefit. He doesn't need us. It is for ours. We need to tap back in to those springs of living water and allow them to flow from our bellies. You see, folks, we get over here in Matthew's gospel. In the 43rd verse of this 5th chapter, it says, "Ye have heard that said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? If ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And perfect, there ain't a single person in here that's perfect. There's only one person that has ever walked the face of this earth that was perfect, and that's Jesus Christ, my Lord. He's not talking about perfection. He's talking about completeness. Completeness. You want your life to be complete, you go to the source in prayer and you fill your cup up with His love. You know, I heard this on the radio the other day, and I really liked the way this brother put this. You know, I can remember a time, again, before God put a call on my life. I really loved God. I was on fire. I was trying to learn. And then I decided, whoa, I don't know about all this. And I quit going to the source to fill my cup back up. So every little bit that I poured out, it just kept getting lower and lower and lower. You see, folks, if we don't go back to God and ask Him to fill our love back up every once in a while, it's going to wax cold. You know, there's an expression that I've heard, and it's very true. It's said in a secular manner, but it's very true. No man is an island. You can't be all by yourself all the time. You see, as we walk through this world, there's many things that we find that are troubling. There are many things that we find are heartbreaking. I remember distinctly listening to a lesson for Brother H.C. Vanderpool, who I have no doubt is enjoying the joys of his Lord as I speak. He said in that lesson, he was sitting there watching the news. And of course, I don't know how many of y'all watch the news on a regular basis, but there's not a whole lot of good things that are on it. And he said as he was sitting there, he began to weep. And the tears began to flow down his face. His dear wife came in and said,
Well, what on earth is wrong with you? He said the world is in such disarray. The world is in such disarray. He can't help but weep. Why? He had love for folks he didn't even know because of what they were going through. Folks, I have no doubt that we're drawing near. I'm not a prognosticator. I'm not a prophet. But I'll tell you this. We're getting real close to the days of Noah. In 2 John, I want to share something with you as I get ready to close. John says here, to the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that, as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. What's he trying to tell her? There have been many brothers and sisters. There's been many a man who has answered the call of God on his life, and he has sacrificed greatly to show the love from his heart, from God, to this lost and dying world. You see, folks, if we ain't careful, we can lose the ground we have gained. Do you hear me? We can lose the ground that we have gained. How many of us in here have lost family members? How many of us have lost people that come in and out the doors of our church? I do. My heart aches for those people. You're going to have to get over your own self-centeredness and love the same way that our Lord loves. He gave it all. He gave it all. No greater love than there is than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I don't know about you folks, but if I knew for a fact that a complete stranger was bound for an eternal hell, they gave me the option. You hear this? They gave me the option. We know where he's going. You want us to take him or take you? I hope God comes down and he fills up my cup and lets me just one more time show the love that my Lord has.
Yes.
And allow that instrumental person. Polycarp, as he stood at the stake, being ready to be burned. Yeah. He counted it a joy, as has already been said, to suffer for his Lord. I'm not going to turn my back on him. Are you? Love. I mentioned this when I started. It ought to be the one motivation that we have in everything that we do.
Because every doctrine that we hold firm to, everything that we hold dear, starts with love. And the simple fact, my God, all the way back in the halls of eternity, knew I would be here and that I needed help. And more importantly than that, He was willing to suffer for me. He was willing to suffer for you. Let us love one another. Let the world see what the real church is like. And I tell you what, folks, you let God's love come in and take over, you won't have to worry how to do outreach. God will be pointing opportunities to you all the time. But you're going to have to be willing to listen. And you're going to have to be willing to go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. God bless you, Jeff. I appreciate that message. But it all is motivated by love. Brother Moderator, the Lord's done with me.